everybody. It's Mike Jeffers, Chicago Jazz Magazine, ChicagoJazz.com, and welcome to the Chicago Jazz Audio Experience Podcast. I'm very excited today. We are able to preview a show coming out June 7th at Symphony Center in Chicago with the incredible trumpeter John Faddis is coming back to town to lead a quartet, and there's some special guests that we're going to talk about. It's a double bill as well because Dr. Lonnie Smith's trio is going to open up the night. And they are actually filling this whole set in because Wayne Shorter is unable to travel these days. Unfortunately, he's not feeling well. Well, luckily, they were able to get John to come in town, and I know it's going to be incredible. I think, John, the last time I saw you, you were at the Chicago Jazz Festival, and it was incredible at the fest, so I can't imagine what it's going to sound like inside Symphony Center that night.
Well, hopefully it'll sound good. You know, I have some very special guests coming out to join my quartet, and I'm really excited about it.
That's what I was going to ask. So let's talk a little bit about your quartet because, you know, looking over, I mean, we could spend 2 hours talking about all the different groups you've played in and all of the different, you know, things that you've done. So I'm just going to try to focus on a couple of things. But let's talk about this quartet. Now, is this one of the regular groups you're playing with, with the regular trio that backing you up? And then I know there's some special guests coming in.
It is, except for the drum chair. So David Hazeltine is on piano, Kiyoshi Kitagawa is on bass, and on drums we have Rodney Green. My regular drummer couldn't make this one because this was sort of a last moment thing, so I think he was already booked.
Well, I'll tell you,
I got Rodney
is like one of the swinginest drummers, so I think you got a good replacement with this set, because I remember the first time I saw Rodney. I'm a drummer. I went to North Texas and all that stuff, and I remember seeing Rodney play with so many different groups, and it's always just in the pocket swinging. So I'm imagining that's probably what we're going to get to hear that night, just some serious grooving and some serious swinging.
Absolutely. This is going to be the first time that the rhythm section has played together like this. It's also going to be the first time that I've played in a situation with Ingrid Jensen, Tanya Darby, and Ferez. I've played with in a situation like this at the Hyde Park Jazz Festival for one of the anniversaries of I think it was one of the galas for the Jazz Institute. We go way back, but it's going to be the first time that all seven of us have appeared on the stage at the same time.
That's the one thing I was going to ask you, because you've got yourself and then you've got three other trumpeters. So, I mean, is there going to be enough room on there with all these trumpets coming at everybody? that's a killer lineup.
Well, as a drummer, you know, trumpet players don't have big egos.
Right, yeah, I know that, sure.
but in this instance, I'm setting the program up to be sort of a jazz at the Philharmonic.
Mm, okay.
Where everybody has a feature and everybody does their thing. And let me see if I can talk about Ingrid for a while. We teach together at two colleges, at Purchase College, also at Manhattan School of Music. But a few years ago, I had heard her with Maria Schneider's band. Mm-hmm. But a few years ago, I was in Chicago, and I think it was Neil Tesser took me out to hear Ingrid in one of the clubs. And I'd never heard her in a small group setting. And she was just brilliant. It was beautiful playing. You know, I think trumpet players appreciate other good trumpet players, a great trumpet player, because we know how hard it is to do that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like you speaking about Rodney Green and being in the pocket. It's not easy being in the pocket. You know, tune after tune after tune. It's not easy. So you can appreciate what he does. But that doesn't mean we're going to be competing. So Ingrid is just absolutely beautiful player. Tanya Darby, I've known since she was, I don't even know, maybe junior high or high school. I met her out in the Monterey California Jazz Festival area.
Wow.
And I'm from Oakland. Let me throw this in. Go Warriors. Okay.
That's right.
I'm from Oakland, I talked to her, and I said, call me when you get to town, and I'll take you out for some pizza. And so she got to town, and I took her out for some pizza at this place that I really like. It's really thin crust. It's really, really thin. They put lobster on it. I said, I'm going to get you the lobster pizza. I didn't know she was allergic.
Oh no.
She didn't tell me until years later.
She made it out of there and probably got sick at home, right?
Yeah, it's weird, but hearing Tanya play now, she is currently the director of brass studies at Berklee College of Music in Boston, and before that she was teaching at your old alma mater at North Texas.
Oh, okay.
And, I've heard her play with Diva. I've hired her to play with my big band, the John Faddis Jazz Orchestra. Mm-hmm. She's played with the Vanguard Jazz Orchestra and the former Thad Jones Mel Lewis Orchestra. And she can get down. She's a great player.
Yeah.
And I don't have to tell you about Ferez.
No, I mean, Ferez, I mean, you know, so the, I mean, the three of them joining you on stage, it's going to be quite a thing. And, you know, we should go back and talk a little bit because you brought up a great point about being in the pocket and playing trumpet and stuff. And, you know, it's a lot different. And I don't know if a lot of our listeners realize this. It's a lot different when you're playing trumpet or saxophone or, you know, a non-chordal instrument in front of a rhythm section, as opposed to what a lot of people hear, because if they go out to see a big band or something, you know, you guys will take solos, but there's the rhythm section and the big band comes in, and sometimes there's harmonies behind you from the big band and stuff. Talk a little bit about how, you know, the technique changes just from your point of view. I mean, how do you rearrange your brain when you're playing, or don't you? Is it just natural and you just don't even think about it that way?
Well, I think one becomes a little bit more relaxed. One has more freedom to express oneself in a small group setting.
Mm-hmm.
But most trumpet players, I know Freddie Hubbard was a big fan of how long he could play.
Oh, yeah.
Excuse me. And I know that sometimes at sessions, you know, you get six or seven horn players on the bandstand, and each one is trying to outdo the other and play longer than the other. And that's not what it's about. That is not what it's about. So it's about camaraderie, respect, and joy, and the love of the music. And I think that's something that people, you know, the audience, not the people, the audience will hear Friday.
So now, what kind of tunes are you going to be doing? If you're doing kind of you're bringing each one out to play with you as kind of a feature, and then probably everybody comes out and you guys all kind of throw down at the end or something, is something along those lines. So it's going to be some specific tunes. So I would imagine it's probably going to be a whole mixture of tunes that each different artist enjoys. So people are going to really get a good mixture of stuff.
Exactly. We're going to try and give the audience a palette of different colors from each musician.
Mm-hmm.
I might even sneak a trio tune in there. We'll see. I'm not sure what we're going to play yet. It's something that we all, you know, I want to keep it sort of spontaneous, and we'll decide at the sound check on Friday.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's really because of all the different genres that everyone's played through. You know, I mean, I'm familiar with Tanya and Ingrid, and obviously Ferez, and obviously yourself. So, I mean, you're drawing from so many different backgrounds. There's going to be a huge wide range of repertoire that people are going to be able to hear June 7th at Symphony Center. Symphony Center Presents. I should also mention tickets are still available, so they can get that at cso.org. And, you know, the other thing is that I want to tie this a little bit back in because, you know, you were in Chicago for many years running the Chicago Jazz Ensemble. And you were also, you mentioned the Chicago Jazz, the Jazz Institute of Chicago. And I know from talking to Lauren Deutsch last year that she brought up, when I was interviewing her about something, she brought up the fact that you would do a lot of outreach with a lot of the young kids. So can you talk a little bit about how important it is for someone like yourself who's had all these experiences playing with Thad Jones Big Band and Dizzy Gillespie and, you know, the artists, I could keep going with the artists, but to pass that down directly to the young kids?
Well, that's what happened with me in my upbringing. I had a chance to play with Dizzy when I was 15, and it changed my life. So that's something I want, you know, young people to have an experience that they might not be able to have when they're young.
Right.
So when I was in Chicago with the jazz ensemble, one of the things that I would do is I would host pizza parties for the Jazz Links kids and some of the students at Columbia College. And I don't know if they came over for the pizza or what. But what's the young bass player's name?
Oh, Katie Ernst. Katie Ernst, sure.
Katie Ernst. Yeah, she would come over. Marquise Hill would mm-hmm. come over. And we just have jam sessions, and then I would coach them a little bit. Nudge them here, nudge them there a little bit, and say, yeah, do that, you're on your way.
So I think it's so important, though, for young musicians, because they go to the high school band program, they go to some jam sessions and things like that, but it's so different when you actually get on a bandstand, and it's so hard for young students to actually have that interaction with professionals and interactions like somebody like you. So that's really incredible. And now the Jazz Links jam session has turned out so many different players. It's really a testament. But I think that that's something that, you know, hanging around with somebody like you, I mean, look at Marquise, look at Katie. I mean, there's probably 20, 30 other students that used to come over and do stuff. I just don't know how often that's happening these days. I mean, you're in New York, you're traveling all over the place. Do you see that kind of stuff happening in different cities?
Well,
it's hard. I mean, it's hard to set that stuff up, too. You know,
yeah,
so
it's difficult. I see that in some other cities with some of the local professionals that will go into schools in those particular areas and try to help guide the young students. I try to guide, you know, sometimes there are young trumpet players and then they'll start texting me. Oh my goodness. but what I try to tell all of the young musicians is to compose.
Mm.
Compose their own music. Compose what they put. Okay, it's going to start out slow. I've never done this before. Okay, I understand. Put it on paper, and then you can revise.
Oh, okay.
Because you never know, what might happen. I have students from the program at Purchase College. They're playing with Lady Gaga now.
Oh, wow.
So you never know what's going to happen.
You gotta be ready. Is that how you learned? I mean,
you're
hanging out. Obviously, you played with Dizzy at 15, and that changed your entire trajectory. But I mean, you were coming up that way. There wasn't as much jazz education, so you must have been in the clubs, hanging out, meeting everybody at a real young age, right?
Well, I was in the clubs a little bit later.
Okay,
you know where I could, and I was old enough to go hear Joe Henderson with Kenny Dorham and Billy Higgins and Cedar Walton or something like that,
mm-hmm.
but. It did happen with my trumpet teacher. His name was Bill Catalano, and he used to take me to big band rehearsals and just sit me in the middle of the trumpet section and just say, sit and listen.
Hmm.
And then after I did that, you know, I could hear the charts. I sort of memorized them. They say, okay, play this measure over here. I said, okay. So, beep, beep, beep. I played a little beep, beep, beeps. And then pretty soon, okay, somebody didn't show up. You play the fourth book now. And then I worked my way up. But I was always sort of the young kid in the band
mm-hmm.
back then. And wow, now I'll be the old man on the stage at the Symphony Center.
Wow, that's such an incredible way to train your ear, too. You know, I mean, that's like hands on. You're training. You're just sitting there listening, watching the chart go by. I mean, that's an incredible experience.
Yeah, I did a big band workshop once, and I invited the audience to come on stage and hear it from a conductor's perspective. Because when you're standing right in front of a big band, there's nothing like it. And these were musicians that are usually sitting in, you know, in the saxophone section or the trombone or trumpet section or in the rhythm section.
Yep.
But when you're standing out front, you get that total picture. Woo! And that's quite a joyous occasion when one can hear what that sounds like. And it's not on record. It's live. Beautiful experience. That's all I got to say.
Well, and you know, that's a great segue, because my big thing is that, you know, especially to young musicians, but also old jazz fans and everybody in between, I always tell them, you know, you can watch YouTube, you can listen to your records, but you're never going to hear the music unless you're there live in person, listening to it organically happen right in front of you. And good news, June 7th, they'll be able to come and do that at Symphony Center. Of course, tickets are still available at cso.org. Did you like that transition? Look at that. I told you before we got
That's
on, I was going to try
smooth.
To be professional.
Very smooth.
Well, I'll tell you what, John, is there a website everybody can go check out? So if they're in New York or they're anywhere else, and as you have new releases and new projects coming up after this gig in Chicago, they can follow you and perhaps see you some other spots?
Yeah, actually, I'm going out to Las Vegas next week to do some teaching with Dave Liebman and Justin DeChocho at a jazz school out there for, I don't know, 3 or 4 nights.
Oh, wow.
3 or 4 days at night. But if you look up John Faddis on Facebook, that's usually where the information is, because my website is almost non-existent. I can't tell you how many people... Let me do your website for you. Let me do your... But Facebook, it seems to reach a lot of people. So,
well, and also, it's
look
a,
at Facebook.
So that's the spot that's always updated then. So that's a good spot for everybody to check out.
Exactly.
Cool.
And,
well,
and the other thing, if I may say,
yep.
I'm very excited to be on stage again, once again, at Symphony Center. Celebrating their 25th anniversary of having jazz concerts there. And I remember, oh my goodness, it was probably back in 1972 or somewhere like that, 72. The Dizzy was playing a Pops concert, I think it was at Ravinia, with the Chicago Symphony. Mm. And Dizzy said to the people, he said, can this young man play? He knows my music.
Really?
But they didn't let me play. But you know, the other thing I want to say, and this probably the first thing, is I want to send blessings and best wishes to Wayne Shorter.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's you know, he's not doing well, but hopefully he will recover and be back on the scene again and able to travel and play. So that's what I want to say, and I'm looking forward to being on stage Friday.
Yeah, well, we're looking forward to having you back in Chicago, and hopefully at some point when you're in town, I'll be able to sit down with you and we can do a long form interview about everything. But this is great, so people can check out John Faddis Quartet and the Dr. Lonnie Smith Trio, and of course John Faddis Quartet will feature Tanya Darby, Ingrid Jensen, Ferez Witted, along with John. So, I mean, it's going to be a night of incredible music at Symphony Center. Of course, tickets are still available, cso.org. And John, it's been a pleasure. I really appreciate it, and we will see you on the 7th.
Mike Jeffers, thank you so much. It's a pleasure.